The internet has changed forever the way we do business. It's become a defining engine of commerce, a system that has made shopping easier and keeping track of your friends more convenient. It's driven productivity and brought the world to your living room. You can even take college courses on the internet. But it's much more than that. The internet's become our public square. It's the way many of us get our news, petition our elected officials, and make our views known to the wider world. It has added a new dimension to democracy. The crucial role this information superhighway plays in our democracy is the reason we ought to be wary of the Federal Communication Commission's plan to repeal the Obama administration policy of so-called net neutrality. This is the policy in which the government requires internet providers to treat all data equally. While it's difficult to predict what would happen if the policy is repealed, the fears of the pro-neutrality activists need to be addressed. One big concern is that eliminating neutrality will restructure how the information highway works, where there'll be lanes for Mercedes and Cadillac users who can afford higher tolls. Will those who can't afford these fees be relegated to a digital dirt road? Will the internet become like cable television, with packages that bundle sports, movies, and hundreds of channels? That's great if you can afford it. What it could do is hand the internet keys to big players, think Verizon or Amazon, and create a system where powerful websites can trump smaller independent websites by paying to have their content delivered faster. If you don't like dealing with your cable company or negotiating a mobile phone service now, just think how much more complicated and expensive accessing the internet could become. The research that created the internet was financed largely by U.S. taxpayers. This means that the internet was started as a public good, not a private franchise. Investors and entrepreneurs deserve to earn royalties from products they devise and market. But the internet isn't like Thomas Edison and his light bulb, invented by a private citizen and marketed by investors. Taking a public good that taxpayers financed and turning it over to the highest bidder doesn't seem fair. The push to eliminate net neutrality is coming from the big telecommunications players. The new chairman of the FCC, a one-time Verizon lawyer, says a vote will come as early as December 14th. Perhaps the worst thing about this decision is that it's an abdication of the role the U.S. Congress ought to be playing. This decision is too important to be made by an obscure federal agency with scant accountability to voters. One Republican senator, Susan Collins of Maine, has said she opposes repeal of net neutrality. Rhode Island's Jack Reed, a Democrat, has also publicly criticized repeal. Our elected representatives, who at least are accountable to voters, ought to make a decision that affects so many corners of our lives. It's one thing to forge an internet that has a few wealthy gatekeepers who see their mission as delivering products to consumers in the fastest manner. It's quite another to create a system that can deliver one form of news and political comment quickly and effectively squelch alternative points of view. Some of those who argue for an end to net neutrality assert the rules discourage investment and innovation on the internet. If that truly was the case, Congress could relax some rules but keep the core of the internet open to all views. All that's needed is legislation that bar networks from blocking or slowing data or from charging extra for so-called fast lane internet services. Our nation is stratified along economic borders to a degree not seen since the Gilded Age. Why at this time in our history would the nation want to increase a digital divide? It brings to mind that old New England adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's leave the internet open to all who log on.